if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
And indeed, ahoy hoy, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 298 of BRB UK. Two away from 300. It approacheth the big 300. It's like the point at which podcasts have midlife crises, because, well, frankly, it's appropriate because all of us are. I'm Dan, I'm one of the hosts. Another man who's having a midlife crisis is Timothy J. Hibbs, Esquire.
Hello, midlife crisis in full swing over here.
Excellent. How has your midlife crisis manifested itself?
VR, mostly. I don't drive, so right. I just get driving games and right. a VR headset and
right.
pretend I own a Ferrari. Which is probably right. the worst form of midlife crisis.
But there's a man over here who's a special snowflake. He's definitely a millennial because he was born after 1983. It's Coalman.
298, more like 29 late, which this podcast isn't because it's out a day early.
Good.
Jesus Christ.
Gonna have to make sure it gets out a day early now.
We got some early podcasts out.
We got some early podcasts. We are casting our pods earlier than scheduled, which rather took me by surprise because I'm in the throes of buying a house at the moment, and my brain, I have very limited bandwidth for anything at the moment.
Just so you know, you need a really big bag when you buy
a
house.
You do.
Really those hippo bags, they're pretty big.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the final few moments of actually having money in my account at the moment.
Nice!
I know. It's like, okay, I'm going to wave goodbye to you. Fly, my pretties, fly. Go forth and spend yourselves.
It's only 25 years until it'll be the case again, Dan. You're all right.
Yeah, it'll be 30 years, mate, actually. That's not so good. But apparently that's because I'm not allowed to retire until I'm 68 anyway, so... Thanks, Theresa May. anywho, chaps, congratulations on some stunning E3 coverage.
Thank you.
I particularly like the intro, which I hear was done in a single take.
I thought the intro... Yeah, one take Dan, they call it.
one take Dan. One take.
For the intro and outro.
Yeah, and no swearing.
Mm.
Wow.
And I even left a 3-hour gap between the end of my intro and the beginning of the outro, just so it could just slot right in there, mate.
See, I like... So last year I tried to get you to do this where you'd pre-record it and then we'd use that for the show, but you were too busy. And then this year I went, Dan, have you got the time to do this? I'll send you some details. You went, okay, sure. And I sent you the details. And then not 7 minutes later, you came back and went, done.
Yep. You caught me. You caught me on the hot foot. I just got back and I hadn't got engrossed in saving the universe
in between
from
Destiny
Space
games.
Rhino. Yeah, exactly. So yes, but wow, news was all over the place. There was Destiny 2 news, I'm sure you talked about it. They killed Nathan Fillion.
No!
Is he dead?
Apparently, the quote from from the game director is, he's dead. He's really, really dead.
So they're not Brian Griffining this?
No, he's okay. Really dead, apparently.
Okay.
And, you know, I think they've actually signalled this for a long time coming because one of the weapon perks in Destiny 1 was Firefly, and that was removed in favour of Dragonfly in Destiny 2. So I actually think all of this was foretold many moons ago. If only Destiny had Destiny 2 had a real story I could give a crap about rather than conspiracy tinfoil hat theories about, well, they removed a perk called Firefly, so that's why we knew Nathan Fillion was going to get it.
From playing it over time, I've become quite engrossed in that world. I still don't know what the hell's going on with the DLCs and things, but, you know, I think it's a decent story. I've still got my sword that Cade 6 gave me. I like that sword.
Yes, a pointy srod. But talking of things that are being given or something you can now have, apparently. I think we've spoken about this before.
We've spoken about gaming as an addiction before.
Yes, and it was the World Health Organization were umming and ahhing about whether or not to kind of make it official by giving it what's called a disease classification number. So there is this big book well, big virtual book these days on the internet called The International Classification of Diseases, and the much-anticipated sequel to the 10th edition, the 11th edition, is about to hit the streets. Get queuing up outside Waterstones,
I've got my pre-order made, man.
Have you, mate? Brilliant. The pre-order bonus is gaming disorder, you'll be pleased to know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know, right?
That could be me.
it could be you. It could be you. So, The new disorder, which is officially called gaming disorder, actually I will see if I can find the ICD-11 code for extra nerdiness, is basically described as impaired control over gaming, so onset, when you do it, frequency, intensity, duration, termination, the context. So, for example, you start going 360 no scope in the middle of a funeral. That would be the wrong context.
Are you saying that every YouTuber has a gaming disorder or some other sort of disorder?
I don't think I need to comment on that, Tim.
Right, okay.
It might be a slightly different disorder, but Belenderitis, I think, is what many a YouTuber is diagnosed with. Gaming disorder also means that you increase priority given to gaming, that it takes precedence over life interests and daily activities. Again, you know, yourself.
So, just for reference point, mm-hmm. Dan, asking for a friend here.
Yeah.
If, say, for instance, I'd spent the last, say 9 years or so of my life podcasting and writing about games while not actually getting paid for doing so.
Yeah. No, you're just an idiot if you do that.
Right, okay, fine. That's fine. Okay.
Yeah. As long as you've got a word for it.
And continuation or escalation game despite the occurrence of negative consequences. So, to give it its full name, ICD-11-6C-5-1.
Good. It just rolls off the tongue.
Gaming disorder. And there are three varieties of it. There's gaming disorder, predominantly online. Gaming disorder, predominantly offline. And gaming disorder, unspecified. Now, this is lumped together with...
What's the first order, Dan?
The first order is 1866. Or is it 1886?
It's 1886. It's 1986. Got better
yeah.
music.
Why not?
Isn't it the group of space Nazis from Star Wars?
Yeah.
The Force Awakens.
Yeah. But it's all lumped in with gambling disorders, disorders due to addictive behaviour. Now, the pattern of gaming behaviour may be continuous or episodic and recurrent. The gaming behaviour and other features are normally evident over a period of at least 12 months in order for a diagnosis to be assigned, although the required duration may be shortened if all diagnostic requirements are met and symptoms are severe.
Right. If you feel like doing this, pause the podcast, make as many jokes on microtransactions and loot boxes as you want, and then replay, because I'm not doing it today.
No, I'm not doing it today either.
Just entertain yourself. Jokes here.
Yes. The behaviour pattern is apparently of sufficient severity to result in significant impairment in personal, family, social, educational, occupational, or other important areas of functioning. Now, I'm a doctor.
Yes.
I don't like to talk about it. Either time I became one.
As the good doctor, what is your take on this?
Reactionary is what this is.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. People, you know, the problem is, okay, if you draw a Venn diagram, and in the first circle is everybody in the world, then there are people who like games, which is a subset of that, and people with, people who may have problems relating to other people, who may have overt or kind of silent, undiagnosed kind of, personality disorders or problems associating with other individuals or kind of taking social, being able to process social cues in the right way. Now, because gaming, as in video games, not gaming as in, you know, gambling, anything like that, is by design a bit of a escape from the real world. One that can be controlled, one that the player has agency over. It does mean that some people who find the real world difficult to deal with gravitate perhaps to computer games because it's something that they feel they are in control of because they're not, you know, they may not necessarily feel that about their day-to-day life.
Mm. Which now, explains why The Sims always sell so well.
Well, exactly, exactly. Because, you know, who wouldn't want to lock a little shit in the toilet with no food until they die?
President Trump?
Yeah. So, yeah, so I think the problem is the two are getting conflated with one another. Now, I don't deny that some people, perhaps, like with any hobby, that pretty much just about any hobby that you see, that people take things or can take things to a bit of an extreme as an impact on other areas of their life. Tim, you're a fan of football.
I do like a football.
And I'm sure you'd love a football. You love to cuddle up to a football and you know, tweak its little inflaty bit. Don't you? You love
behind it. The scenes, moments ago, just before we were recording, mm-hmm. I walked into the room to find Tim with a VR headset on watching the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. This
really?
Did happen.
Yes. Are you the VAR person? Later on, they ring back to in Russia. I go, Tim, was that a foul or what? And you go, ah, sorry, mate.
Again, you're mixing things, VAR and VR, but also yes.
He's sticking his head out over the line going, yeah, that was about it, I think.
Yeah,
that was about it.
Yeah. So the problem is that in any hobby, Tim, so you're a big football fan, I'm sure you've got mates who are also fans of football who perhaps
are overly invested in football and it rules their life and they can't divorce their feelings from how their football team did at the weekend.
Ah,
yeah, exactly. And have
football
perhaps
fans.
And perhaps
fanatics, you may say.
Yes. And in a way that perhaps is not hugely beneficial to relationships with those who surround them, right?
Yes, especially if they support different football teams.
So, the same kind of thing is trying to be positive at gaming disorder. Now, I don't deny that there are people who probably, you know, might need some help in seeing a bit of perspective about it. There may be other areas of life that, you know, perhaps you want to pay a bit of attention. That's the same with any hobby. But does it deserve its own, hey, this thing is a specific problem, so specific, in fact, that, you know, we're going to lump it in with gambling and we're going to, you know, essentially make it, well, it's a stigma, essentially, is what follows on from this. It's a label, a negative label, that I don't necessarily feel is appropriate.
Right, but I think, I kind of agree with what you're saying there, but there's, And this is also backed up by people cleverer than me and with like yourself having medical degrees. I don't know if you saw the rebuttal from the Yuki CEO, Dr. Joe Twist, who was basically saying, you know, it's kind of it's an irresponsible reaction from the mainstream media and like I can't remember the exact phrase he used, but something along the lines of that putting this in the same category as an addiction does like the wrong thing for it, basically. It doesn't necessarily help the situation, basically, or what people are going through with it, basically. But there are two slight counterpoints to that, I'd say, as well. Like, for me, there are more so than in other mediums, and look, you could argue that TV, particularly serialized TV, incentivizes you coming back and watching it the next week by having things like cliffhangers and stuff like that, basically. So that, in the same way, kind of feeds into the kind of addictive personality of coming back for the next week to get your next fix of it, basically, type of thing, in simplistic terms. But I'd say more so in video games and other mediums, there are aspects of video games that deliberately put addictive style things, and sometimes just something as simple as noises. One of the things I'm really thinking of there is Peggle. Peggle is highly, like, is almost proved to be highly addictive because of the rewarding noises it gives you in return for what you do.
Well, actually, if you go, I mean, again, is this perhaps slightly going on the gambling side of things? If you look at companies like King, Activision, Bungie, they actually have dedicated staff members who are kind of psychology professionals who actually design systems to maximize engagement, which is essentially getting their hooks into players. And, you know, games by their very nature, there is a cause and effect. You do something, you get a response, and that, you know, is happy times or endorphins.
And there's video games that literally take cues from gambling type mechanics, like a fruit machine type thing.
Yeah.
Again, in the noises, the way it reacts when you do something, and, you know, that positive reinforcement. And that's something that is, like, prevalent in a lot of games, even beyond the kind of more simple things like Peggle. Like, the reward noises in a more complicated game like Call of Duty or something actually, you know, takes advantage of the knowledge of those things, of what sounds rewarding to you as a human being,
that,
basically.
That, and it's modelled off one of the most addictive games in the Asian market of pachinko.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think my issue with it, and this is just from a kind of a purely diagnostic point of view, people who become perhaps too invested in games, I think that is a symptom of other issues. It's not, I would be amazed there was someone who the only manifestation of any compulsive behavior they have or any problems relating to people in the real world, as with anything, would solely be the fact that they video game. I would imagine there's going to be, for a start, gaming is a hugely prevalent behavior these days.
And that's one of the things with statistics that you could go with, and this is one of the things I always kind of hammer home with statistics. You can go with the headline in a newspaper of 100% of the babies born in hospitals die, because that is statistically correct.
Well, breathing's bad for you as well.
Because 100% of people die. That doesn't mean that is not a misleading headline that isn't deliberately trying to, you know...
It's true, but I mean, I think the kind of the point that I'm trying to get at is that this is trying to pin a name on, you know, what is a very easily recognizable symptom of perhaps some other issues. And, you know, me, all of us love video games, perhaps a bit too much, but, you know, we've all got jobs.
To a slightly unhealthy degree, perhaps, even.
Well, destiny.
Yeah, exactly. You can't deny it. But the one thing I would say that, again, is a slight counterpoint to the argument, but it's not necessarily as... But I think it also plays into the argument that you're saying, that it is a slightly separate thing where you need to look at the root cause. I think I would say... We could definitely hold my hand up and say this about myself, but would, like... probably add that I could probably say it about you two and a lot of the people that are probably listening to the show, is that in hard times of my life, I have sought refuge in video games.
Oh, like, yeah. No,
it,
I have
it is
as
a
well.
Comfort, you know what I mean? And that's something that I wouldn't ever deny, but I wouldn't also say that that was a bad thing and we need to label video games with. They're actually, you know, a good thing to escape.
Yeah, well, I mean, why do people read books? Escapism. Why do people watch films? Escapism. It's to give yourself something else to think about than a daily grind. And like most things, in moderation and not to the exclusion of all other things, you know, great. It's not bad for you, you know? And I think the whole wanting to slap a diagnosis on it is to, you know, kind of, it's almost kind of vilifying it in a way. And, you know, if something has got a diagnosis, it is the implicit assumption is that it is a disorder of some kind. Now, I think gaming, as with all things, is on a spectrum. You know, there are people who very rarely play, people who probably play quite, you know, I would say, I do know people who play too many games to the exclusion of other things. And it is easy to, you know, as a guy, you know, guys, you know, I've been quite open and honest about, you know, I've had problems with mental health in the past due to the stresses of work and real life getting on top of me, as has happened to all people. And gaming, sometimes, yeah, you know, you can think, oh, I did get so like, hang on, I've really got to do something else here. This is, you know, potentially if I'm sat here and this is all I do, you know, this is not good for me. And, but that could be said of anything. It could be said of anything. And
there,
you know,
are much worse things that you could be doing with your time as well.
I think the thing is that this is very much a reactionary move to perhaps classify something that kind of society still doesn't quite understand. And I mean, there are qualifiers to the diagnosis, but I do think that singling gaming out, and specifically video games out, is perhaps not the most productive thing.
Can I just ask you, I just found the quote from Dr. Joe Twist, and just it sounded like it might be surmising what you're saying, but I also might want you to explain it to me.
Yeah, sure, go for it.
But she says, by labeling a complex hobby as a disorder, we risk pathologicalizing
it.
The wrong thing, she says, basically. Pathologizing the wrong thing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I'm saying. It's a symptom, perhaps, of something deeper seated rather than a disorder, much how I hate to use that term, in and of itself.
Right, yeah.
With fully going into the risk of blaming all addictions as a false thing, but you do risk, if someone says if they are told they have a disease, so alcoholism for one reason, if you have a disease, you're an alcoholic, you can then take that as a crutch to go, well, can't be helped, I've got a disease.
Yeah, I know.
And by labeling it as such, that could be the similar problem here.
Yeah, I guess that's also, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the value of a diagnosis is so that someone can get help with the underlying problem. The problem is if you give a diagnosis to things that actually aren't the underlying problem, you're kind of rather missing the point. And I would
hope
you're
avoiding the problem rather than helping to deal with it, basically.
Yeah,
right?
And you know, you don't want to put a stigmatizing label on people. I hope what it's viewed as, in the fullness of time, would be this is a symptom of a larger syndrome. A syndrome being a collection of symptoms that make up a kind of a loosely defined kind of characteristic of diseases, which are, I think it must always be viewed in the balance of what else is going on with the person. And like I said, and we're starting to go around in circles here, I really honestly think that if you do want to call gaming disorder, fine. I still don't think it's a disorder in and of itself. I think it is most likely, in the vast majority of cases, highly likely to be a very obvious symptom of something else that's going on, be it something on kind of the autistic spectrum, be it something on the more kind of either neurotic or psychotic spectrum. Not saying that that's what all gamers are, but you know, but just to be clear, psychotic is what psychosis means is disordered thought, and you're unaware of that disordered thought, and that can manifest as, you know, what appears to be personality disorders, hyperactivity, problems forming relationships with other people, repetitive behaviors, all of these things. And you can see how video games could help escape from that, or allow people to vent or to, you know, channel that pent-up frustration they have into something that feels like they are exacting some kind of control on the world around them, something that they perhaps struggle to do in real life.
So there's no chance that you're ever gonna be able to prescribe me 6 months Destiny. No, that's never gonna be.
I think you should do that anyway. I was
on the clinical trial for that. Didn't go well.
But no, seriously, if you need more information or examples, in fact, on video game addiction, then you want to go to www.wastedondestiny.com, search Captain Average. You will then see.
Make sure you look at Destiny 1. Okay,
Tim,
Destiny
are you ready for some stats, Tim?
Oh, I'm ready for some stats.
No, Tim's going to guess. Right. How long do you think Dan's played on Destiny 1 on the PlayStation?
84 years.
2,261 hours.
Yes, son.
How long do you think he's wasted on Destiny 2 on the PlayStation 4?
Oh, that was just Destiny 1.
Yeah.
On the PlayStation.
Yeah, that was just Destiny 1 on the PlayStation. This is Destiny 2 on the PlayStation.
So bearing in mind he played Destiny 1 on three different formats, by the
no,
way.
No, he only played it on two, but...
We're not
counting Xboxes.
Was it not on PC?
No.
Okay.
Right. Destiny.
Again,
Destiny 2 on the PlayStation 4. How long?
2,500 hours.
177 hours.
177?
Well, it's not been out as long, you see.
And you didn't like it as much, I guess.
Well, I ended up playing more of it on PC.
Right, now the PC, Destiny 2. Higher or lower?
Higher or lower?
What do they think? Do they think higher or lower?
Let's go to the
game. I actually don't know this one.
No, let's go 1,500.
Lower.
Lower? 1,000.
No, lower.
Lower?
Lower. 339 hours.
Wow. That's only like...
What can I say? I turned my life around.
2 weeks or so.
What can I say?
While we were talking about gaming addiction, I went, I wonder how long Dan's played in Destiny now.
But, you know, to put that in context, though, I mean, okay, so Destiny 2, well, it doesn't have as much to do as Destiny 1, but also I was a student during most of the time of Destiny 1, whereas I now have a job.
You have your doctorate in Destiny.
Yes, I do, my PhD Destiny.
I'm just going to mention, though, I know we kind of lightened things up a bit and I'm taking them back down to a slight serious level, but if you do want a bit more information and want to read up on those things a bit, that article that I took the Dr. Joe Twist quotes from is from gamesindustry.biz, so you can go along and look that up there and get some more information.
Yeah, and you know, just generally as a general note, you know,
as a general practitioner.
Well, not quite. But you know, I don't know. I don't want this to sound too schmaltzy, but I'm sure you guys, I hope you would agree, having mental health problems or feeling down, feeling depressed, feeling stressed, that's, you know, you're not weird if you have those problems.
No, perfectly normal.
And you know, everyone needs to escape their demons to some degree. If whatever your means of trying to escape is starts affecting your relationships with those around you, perhaps that's a point in which you might think, okay, maybe I need to talk about this with someone.
Yeah.
I've always said, and I truly believe, I think the person who thinks they've never had a mental health problem is the weird one in the room.
Yeah, definitely.
and it doesn't matter if you've had a mental health problem. I have, other people I know have, and it doesn't matter if it knocks you down. What matters is how you get back up again. And it can sometimes take a while to get up again, and that doesn't matter. The main thing is that you eventually do. So, if you do need help, there's great, I know people go, oh, the Samaritans, but actually genuinely they have some excellent resources. Mind is a UK charity, or even just talk to your friends and family. More people than you would imagine have had problems like this, and actually it's therapeutic to talk about it.
The other thing I'd say is, as much as I do think it's positive to encourage people to go get help, don't feel that there's anything necessarily wrong with you if there is something wrong with you and you don't want to seek help at that point in time. Like, seek help when it is comfortable to you to do so. Don't necessarily be pushed into getting help at a time when you're not willing to open up about it anyway. That's fairly, like, counterproductive, I think.
Absolutely. And everybody's different. Everybody, the way what counts as help for one person may not be the right thing for another one. But, you know, just remember that what I always say is, you're not the weird one.
everyone else is weird in their own way.
Yeah, everyone else is far weirder than you will ever, ever appreciate. yeah. Cool. Right. Can I make an ob joke now?
Yes. Yeah. Insert an ob joke here.
I should actually have an ob joke ready to go.
I need you to hurry up and tell us the next headline, Dan.
Okay. Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah.
Has left
the building!
The early concept stage.
What?
Woo! We did it, guys! We did it!
Round of applause.
We did it!
Well done. I never thought we'd live to see the day. What?
Now.
Also, what?
Cast your mind back a year. A year. A year, Tim. A year.
A year.
Well, if we're going to the announcement, 2 years.
2 years.
Oh, shit. Yeah, what's 2 years? 2 years. Final Fantasy VII Remake. There we go. People, there was more emotional turmoil in the audience than Kingdom Hearts 3. Did anyone cry at the news of Final Fantasy VII?
Loads of them cried. There's a crying compilation. Not just people in the audience, people re-watching the live stream and doing live reactions, and then the next year I think they took all those Final Fantasy VII reaction shots and put them into one big collage of just what are you doing?
Do you think that's one of the things that put Sony off having more guest games this year, that they just couldn't go through this sort of crap again?
Oh, the fact that they're a bunch of bloody vaporware. Do you think?
Quite possibly.
So it was very conspicuous by its absence, I would say, at E3. But apparently, Tetsuya Nomura...
it's easy for you to say.
Has now, I know it is easy for me to say, has stated that Remake has at least moved past a conceptual stage.
Good!
I know.
We did it, guys!
Yeah, we did. We did it. And it's being developed in parallel to Kingdom Hearts 3, which he's also directing. Now, I don't understand Kingdom Hearts.
But no, just to put this in perspective, yeah. So we had rumblings a few months ago that Final Fantasy VII Remake, Square Enix weren't impressed with what the studio had put out, basically.
Yeah.
And
said,
took it away from them, because it was like part in-house, part third party, and then they took it all in-house and went, right, we're starting again.
Screw you guys, we're going home.
I don't know about you guys, but I did get a lot of people asking me when it came to E3, what happened with Final Fantasy VII? Where was Final Fantasy VII? And, what I can say is I know those rumors, as everyone else. Maybe that has a contributing factor. When we hear that it's only just left 2 years into development, only just left the early concept stages, I would say that's a pretty damn, that's pretty damn plausible.
Right, it's not just the fact that a game has left the early concept stage after 2 years. A remake. They're just remaking the game. I know they may be making it to a different standard and maybe, like, almost remaking it from the ground up. You've already got a load of the kind of base of what you're doing. You know what you're making.
And you're making an episodic game. It's an episodic game. You're working on the first episode.
Oh God, I forgot that part even. Oh my word.
It's gonna be like kind of like the Lord of the Rings was almost a 10-year cycle. It's gonna be like that. Final Fantasy VII. It's going to be 7 years. It's going to be 7 episodes, one every year for 7 years.
Yeah, it gets to the point where they're never going to be able to live up to the expectations that they've built up the time period that they've done it, kind of thing. I mean,
is it ever going to happen? Is it ever going to finish? My answer to that is no, it won't.
No, it'll finish.
It'll finish, but I also think it'll be hit with the criticism. At whatever point it comes out now, it's going to be, it's taken you 3 or 4 or 5 years to develop it. How the hell is it only this much or this thing, or you know what I mean? Like, it's never going to be able to please the people that have waited that length of time for it, basically.
This is the big problem. Yeah, it's the length of time. So Final Fantasy VII came out, what, 1997, 98 in the UK?
96, 97
in the UK.
I would say 97 off the
okay,
top of my head.
So since then, there wasn't call to remake the game at that point. It wasn't until the PlayStation 3 demo, if you remember, they made a small little tech demo to go, here's how Final Fantasy VII would have looked if we made it on the PS3.
And people actually knocked themselves out their own boners.
The problem was E3 wasn't as prevalent as it is today, and we got small videos from the internet. That was quite easily for some news websites to crop it, put it out as it was, and go, here's a teaser for the brand new Final Fantasy VII remake for PS3, and that caught like wildfire over the internet. And then something that completely didn't help themselves, Square Enix, instead of going, we're not making a Final Fantasy VII remake, they went, here's a Final Fantasy VII movie, here's a Final Fantasy PSP side story, here's a PS2 side story, here's some comics, here's anime, they fueled their own fire. And then when they eventually got to the point of the remake, there's no way it's going to live up to the hype. It can't live up to the hype.
No.
It is scientifically impossible that it will live up to fanboy boner hype. So, you know, that's it now.
Doomed.
They're going longing even longer.
Doomed.
Anyway, yes. I threw this in as a joke, but now I'm getting passionate.
I'm going to start
crying in a minute.
All right, okay. All right, shall we move on?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Do you want to move on? Fallout 76!
Yeah, Bethesda, they've revealed that they put out an FAQ and they've said that Fallout 76's beta is going to come to the Xbox One before the PS4 and the PC. But didn't actually give a release date on any of those, so it's a bit of an on-news, but we know that Bethesda and Xbox One's special relationship goes a little bit further.
I'm really getting tired of platform exclusives.
Cool. I really don't care about this one, though.
That's
really,
fine.
Really don't care.
That's fine.
No? Why not, Tim? Why not?
Because this is ticking all the wrong boxes for me as a Fallout game. It's not what I want from it at all. I know they said there is some single-player content and you can play it offline, but it doesn't sound like it's designed to be played that way.
Would you sum up as saying it's Broken Britain, mate?
No, I'd sum up as...
Broken Wastelands, mate. Broken Wastelands.
I bounced off the last game and they seem to be leaning more heavily into some of the reasons that made me bounce off the last game and then adding an online thing, which just sounds like it's going to be a grief fest that I'm just not really interested in. So there you
hey,
go.
If you dropped 100 people in 100 power suits onto a wasteland...
No, we're not allowed to do those jokes anymore. E3 killed it. Yeah, E3 killed all Battle Royale jokes.
Yep.
Battle Royale jokes, they're all dead. We can't do it anymore.
Are you sure? We could do a whole new podcast called Red Barrel Royale.
Everyone's done it.
Have we done the Red Barrel Royale?
I don't care anymore.
But also, I'd just like to correct the fact that I said that Battle Royale was a Japanese movie, and you guys corrected me and said it was Korean.
No, I didn't.
And no. It's not. It's Japanese. Anyway,
no, it is Japanese.
I wasn't here.
Also,
I think it might have been Kev.
Yeah, it may have been. Then also someone corrected me. Oh, no. Alex was correcting me about the whole Sparta, what's the name thing, in the E3 podcast.
She's
and I'm
she's
completely
allowed to do that.
Correct about that. But
no,
anyway.
No.
Probably shouldn't correct my wife.
Keep your marital issues to yourself. We don't need to hear it on the podcast.
Something we do need to hear about the podcast is how to save money on good games.
Oh, that sounds like a good
thing, save Coleman. Money on the good games.
Do you like that for a segue and
yes.
a way out of Tim's divorce?
Do you know what I would like to play? I would like to play some hits on my PlayStation.
Well, Dan, let me tell you, you're in for a treat.
We have good news for you.
Because PlayStation have announced the PlayStation Hits Collection.
Wow, it's like they delved into the recesses of my mind.
So, yeah, if you're old like us, you might remember the PlayStation Platinum Collection from the PlayStation 1, where they would take a bunch of their games and sell them for £20. Or £10. I can't remember. Time is a thing that eludes me.
Fickle mistress.
Yes. Anyway, they're going to put a collection of titles from their back catalogue, some of them that were like half-price games or discounted games from the start that they're now putting down to $15.99, and some of them being AAA games that may be a bit old now that they're also putting down to $15.99.
I heard the price was $19.99. Is that wrong?
That is $19.99.
Okay.
£15.99. So
that is better.
So this is going to start off with a few titles to begin with. You got Bloodborne, Drive Club.
What? No, PlayStation. Is that PlayStation Hits or PlayStation...
I like Drive Club, Dan. You leave Drive Club alone. You've beaten up Drive Club enough.
I want to know if that's Drive Club base package or if that's Drive Club with the motorbikes, with the VR, you know. I'd pay $15.99 for that.
Well, the VR was an entirely separate game, so I doubt it's part of that, basically.
Infamous Second Son. That's a good game. Good game. Killzone Shadowfall. I have seen that in CX for £3, so I don't know why you pay $15.99 for that.
Yep. Yeah, I still haven't played it, and I owned it since day one, but anyway.
Have you?
I still haven't finished it.
I might play your copy. Little Big Planet 3, banging game. Ratchet and Clank, the remake, which was recently a PS Plus, but is also an amazing game.
Mm-hmm.
Last of Us Remastered.
Great game.
Uncharted 4.
I still need to finish that before the second one comes out, but anyway.
Uncharted 4.
Also a great game.
There we go.
But it feels like that's come round to the PlayStation Hits quite quickly, actually.
Yeah,
Didn't seem that long ago.
I think they just need to stick in some of their
bangers.
First parties. Some bangers, Dan!
Some slapping a banger into
that
bad boy.
It's probably easier to do as when it's first party, as he says, but then also might encourage people to pick up the
DLC and stuff.
Downloadable one as well, basically. Yeah. The Lost Chapters, was it?
Lost Chapters? No, that was... I've forgotten what they called it.
Yeah,
the one with Chloe and...
Yeah, I've forgotten the name.
Oh, well.
But that has
Lost
been
Legacy.
More recent than what's on it.
Lost Legacy.
Lost Legacy,
Battlefield 4, Doom, which also I saw for a fiver in CX the other day. Project Cars, which I saw for a fiver in CX the other day. Street Fighter 5, that isn't the arcade edition, so you don't get all...
Indestructible!
So if you buy the Street Fighter 5 and you want all the characters on top of that, you are going to be paying, unless it's discounted, I believe you're going to be paying £60 for the rest of the characters. Because that's three seasons of character content. Yakuza 0, I think, and Yakuza, I can't read that because it's too small.
I'm making it bigger for you, Coleman.
Yeah, I still can't make that out.
It's the beginning with K. Kawaii.
Kawaii. Now I can't see it. Now you put it sideways. This is not helpful, Dan.
It's all right.
And also, I think there was Metal Gear Solid 5, but
yes,
Dan
yes,
isn't
there was. Off the page.
The picture too big. There we go. Yeah, so there's some, all great games.
I know someone on Twitter.
Yeah, but do look in popular secondhand video game retailers first.
Well, I did note that someone said on Twitter, and I can't remember who otherwise had mentioned him, but.
Jeff Bridges.
Definitely Jeff Bridges. But they mentioned the fact that this is a clear sign that PlayStation is moving into the sort of the latter half of its life cycle at best, or possibly the final third. But
there's a theme to this podcast, and it's midlife crisis.
Yes. Possibly. But I think we're actually later in the console life cycle than that, and I still think we're 2-3 years away, but.
2 years, I think.
2020 is a good year to bring out a console, I think.
Midlife crisis on Infinite Earths.
Which is the very year I will be 40, so I will be nuts out midlife crisising at that point.
Nice.
Good.
I look forward to meeting your 23-year-old girlfriend.
I'm glad we don't
while
do
you're,
a video.
While you're sporting a receded hairline ponytail.
and my man veg hanging out.
Yeah, I'm glad we don't do a video podcast for that one, Dan.
You're like, boys, this is Chardonnay. This is my girlfriend. She's big into design.
And, exactly, and I'd like to introduce you to a little trouser action that I like to call testicular madness.
Speaking of madness...
Yes.
Yes.
PlayStation Now, this is a rumour, might now allow downloads.
Might now allow.
The future, the PlayStation Now might now allow...
Might now in a bit.
Are they going to change it to PS Now allow?
Yeah.
Right.
I'd buy it just for that.
Would you count out on the PS Now allow?
PS Now allow.
Kotaku UK, they said they've spoken to an industry source and have said that downloads are coming to PlayStation Now this September, which means you'll be able to download titles instead of just stream them, which is a great hit on, that's a great addition to your platform. But, get the games online thing for Xbox, you can download first-party titles day one for free. So
exactly. And...
Well, for the price of... Subscription.
Price is not very much.
Yeah.
And what's also get access on your PC as well, should you have a PC.
Yeah. Well, you can play PC games, PlayStation Now on PC as well.
That's true, but you won't be able to download the games.
Probably won't be able to download them, no.
No. But then someone did also say that this rumour has been backed up by the fact that there's an extra option in PlayStation Now that literally has the word download grayed out. So that might be true.
Hot scoop.
Again, I don't know. I haven't seen it firsthand, but I did see someone talking about
a hot scoop.
That.
Like what? What's it a scoop of?
Hot chocolate fudge.
When you poop in your hand and throw it at people.
That's what we call hot chocolate fudge.
Monkey style. I like it.
It's Xbox Live avatars. Remember, they were going to do the new versions that looked really cool and a bit Pixar-esque, and you could have them in.
That hasn't happened yet.
Hey, Coleman. Well, can I see the bottom of my shoe? That's what I want to know. I still
bam,
think that one.
Bang! Whoa. Bottom of the shoe.
Wow! That was a life-changing moment right there.
I don't know if you can see the bottom of the shoe, but you can have cool things like prosthetic limbs and wheelchairs if you wanted to reflect it on a real life, and that's a cool thing, I think.
I think that's a great thing.
And lots of color options and customization options with apparently 16 million color palettes to choose from.
I thought this has already happened.
So, they announced it 2 years ago. It hadn't happened. Even people were asking why they didn't announce it at Xbox at E3. And then apparently it just happened this week. So if you're an Xbox Insider user, if you're on the Insider Hub, you'll be able to go download the avatar creator for yourself and play around with it. It's available now, but they'll be rolling it out.
Do I have to turn my Xbox on to actually see them?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I tried this on Tim's Xbox earlier, and it doesn't seem connected to the TV, so it proved impossible.
Oh, is it not?
I'm not going near that rat's nest of cables.
I haven't even
you come home from work.
Sometime.
Dan would be calling, going, "Why weren't you ready for the podcast?" Tim would come from home from work, going, "Where's Coleman gone?" I'm engulfed in cables behind the telly. Yeah. I just wanted to switch the Xbox on. Steam will now let you see how much you spent in total on their platform. They've got an external funds used tool. I was going to see if Dan would use this. So it quietly released at the end of last month, but now they're actually talking about it.
Do you know what's a really interesting kind of counterpoint to this? You know, they tend to do like a summer sale, spring sale, etc., etc.
Yes.
The latest one was actually kind of awarding you things for basically clearing out your gaming cupboard of shame. It's like, hey, stuff that you've bought but you've never played will give you cool stuff if you actually play the damn thing.
That's quite cool.
Well, that's probably a good idea as well, because it probably reflects really badly on them that loads of people have got so many games they've never played.
Well, I don't know.
$470.
$470, which in pounds sterling is around about £356.37.
And I've had a Steam account since 2009.
Nice. I've had mine for ages. I just never use it because I've got a rubbish PC.
Likewise.
There you go.
Well, I don't really have the PC bit, but yeah.
I went to do a games test somewhere and they required me to log into my Steam account. I went, I don't know the details. And then I logged in and someone had sent me a gift and that was really cool. So, hey. Anyway, we got a bunch of release dates to pump through as well. These are very quick. Activision have announced more DLC for a game that hasn't released yet, Call of Duty World War II.
What a bloody surprise.
So their third DLC pack is called United Front. They announced it on the PlayStation blog. The add-on content will come first to the PS4 on the 26th of June. DLC features three new multiplayer maps and a new war mode mission and a new zombies chapter.
So presumably this is paid DLC, yes?
Paid DLC.
Of course it bloody is, Timothy. It's Activision. It's Activision. What are they going to give anything away free, you moron?
They gave away the VR content for Call of Duty for free. I was surprised about that. At least they're laying out the roadmap so that people know what they're getting into when they're buying the DLC, though.
You can see it as good guy for that. There wasn't long ago, before the land of loot boxes and microtransactions and all this stuff, or an on-disc DLC, there was a time when we would complain about all these DLC things being announced before the game had even come out, as that could have been content included in the game.
Yeah, but these days, I care more about getting through the game to the point where I probably don't want the bonus content first.
Mm. I care more about keeping my fingers crossed if the game's actually going to work on day one these days. That's what concerns me more.
And how many hours of downloading I have to do to patch it to start with.
You want to get the internet, mate, is what you want to get.
Yes.
Yeah. Also this week, PUBG Corp revealed that four new rounds of testing of the Sanhok will release on PC Thursday as part of patch 15. So there you go. That's today. This podcast release is
good.
Ark Survival Evolved, if you're still playing that, Studio Wildcard has revealed the first gameplay details and release date for its upcoming expansion to Ark Survival Evolved. The expansion is titled Ark Extinction. Releases November 6th on Steam, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Will be included in the Explorers Pack and the Season Pass. It will also be available as a standalone expansion or expand alone and upgrade.
Gentlemen, I have a question.
Yep.
Yes.
Have I been at the Strong Cheese, or is Ark Survival Evolved coming to the Switch?
It's coming to the Switch, yes.
It's not a game that's really associated with having, like, you know, a good frame rate on anything. I can't see how that's going to be an enjoyable experience. I think the Switch is great for many things, but Ark Survival Evolved, not so much, I don't think.
I don't know. I've dipped my toe in Ark, and I don't like the mechanics of that game, so I don't play that game. But the DLC does look good. The expansion looks good. It's like giant titans roaming the lands that you can tame and battle and stuff, and that looks really cool. So if you're still playing Ark, there you go. There's a thing. There's a shiny for you. Koei Tecmo has announced the release date and platforms for Warriors Curry 4. The publishers revealed the newest entry in the action franchise will come out on October 16th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, and PC. Bang. Done. There
we
go.
Is that really how you pronounce that?
I don't care. Let's do it. Come on.
Orochi.
Finished.
Orochi, I thought.
But... I got a bloody joke queued up saying I'll give you a cream for that and everything. Oh. Warriors Orochi, mate. That is it. No? No?
I'm thinking of one.
We're running a tad long. I am just going to bosh through mine, okay?
Bosh!
I dip my toe back into Warframe because I've got some Twitch Prime goodness.
Oh, so good, isn't it?
I confused the living crap out of me that
game. Oh, really? Me and Tim are playing the hell out of this. We're so good at it.
What?
Warframe, Tim.
Okay. Yeah, Warframe.
I played it when it first came to PS4, and I haven't played it since.
And it's changed a lot, which doesn't
yes,
help
I've the
fact
heard,
that I'm
but for the better.
By it.
But is it I difficult believe, to believe, go back to, Dan?
I believe when we were playing, Tim said it was Destiny for more intelligent people.
Yes.
And probably Destiny players would find it too confusing.
With the vanquished knee slides, basically.
Yeah, that game is it gives zero shit about actually trying to explain itself to anybody. I'm deeply confused. I don't know why I'm called a tenno or even what a tenno is. I don't know why there's some kind of large
boscus
appearing out the forehead of my
operas
chap. And yeah, I'm very confused by it all.
Three tenos.
And I have no idea what I'm doing. It made me scared, so I went back to Destiny. I also tried out Darkest Dungeon on there.
Ooh,
do that again. I also tried out Darkest Dungeon on the Switch which has come out in an incarnation that has all the DLC. It's on sale at the moment, as many things are on Switch.
Just
I've never
announced
played the
new
game
DLC
before.
For it as well.
Hmm?
They've just announced new DLC for it as
have
well.
Have they?
Yeah.
Bugger. that's more money down the drain. I haven't played it before. Suits the Switch it really, really well. It's a great kind of roguelike RPG, turn-based combat, and the really, I'm sure everyone knows this, or many people knows, but the really interesting thing is that kind of you have to manage the kind of the psyche of your party members, because, funnily enough, running around a dungeon in the pit in pitch black with a bunch of scary monsters trying to eat your face is not happy good times. So you have to, as part of the not only kind of giving them the good weapons and the good gear, you also have to make sure that they're doing okay as well. Otherwise, they lose the plot and can do all kinds of things. It's a great game.
I remember someone that I put a lot of, like back in early access. I remember someone that I put a lot of stats into ended up leaving because he was stressed.
Yeah. Yeah, he had enough. He was like, nope. Talk to my union. I'm out of here. It's
I think
not
he had
worth
like
it.
Post-traumatic stress disorder or something.
Yeah. So there we go. But Darkest Dungeon, great game. Works really well on the Switch. Highly recommend you giving it a look should you have about £10 or £15 spare just knocking around.
Ooh.
So,
ooh.
That's me. I was quick. Take note, Tim.
Well, also, let me try and bash through a couple of Switch games as well, because I've got a tale of two Switch games. One is the Banner Saga 2, which for anyone that heard me talk about the Banner Saga previously, I didn't realize this was a Kickstarter game originally. I'm not sure if all three versions have been Kickstarted, but just so you know, Banner Saga 1 came out a few years ago. Banner Saga 2 came out in like 2016, and Banner Saga 3 is on its way to multiple formats and coming to the Switch later this year, but the Banner Saga has just come. Banner Saga 2 has recently come out on Switch, and I was given a review code for it. Gloss over it a little bit just because it is kind of more of the same as the Banner Saga, but that isn't too
only there was something in the name of the game that would give that away.
No, I'm just saying I don't have to recover some of the ground that I covered before in talking about it, but just briefly, it's kind of their own sort of take on Norse mythology. It's a turn-based strategy game.
Norse mythology. I prefer that to Norse mythology any
Norse,
day of the week.
Norse mythology. But yeah, like it's kind of it's got its own thing. There's like races of humans and big giants called Vals, and it's kind of the interplay between those races and the Dredge, which are the kind of the enemy characters. But then there's also some other big world events, and literally this carries straight on from the previous game. I think it opens with like chapter 8 or something like that, but it's like literally just the next chapter of the previous game. You carry on the story. There is a definite ending to Banner Saga. That kind of like draws a nice line under it, and then gives you a bit more story set up for what's going to happen in the second part. But it is very much a continuation of the same game. That said, like there was a few things where I'm like, I know your tricks now, game. I know what you get up to. I know how you give a false sense of urgency in some of the cutscenes to hurry along my decisions and stuff like that. But they do mix it up a bit in this version, especially a bit more towards the beginning. Like there's some different things going on with the background to the levels, and some different things going on with the interplay of your different parties and how you're kind of like the last game saw like two characters that went off different ways and their paths and stories kind of interweaved towards the end of the game. And then this one kind of does a slightly different way. And I'm trying not to give too many spoilers away for the story because it is quite good. But this one, like, you see the party split up in a different way. And I'm not quite near the end of the game yet, but I'm guessing it will come right around together. One of the major additions that they made from the previous part that I think works really well is actually in the kind of training section, which you can do whenever you're at an encampment, basically. They've added a thing where there's a trainer that can take you through, like, basically challenges. But the way they've integrated into the game is quite good because they give you a really good reward that you really want. So it's like in terms of giving you more renown, which is the thing you use to buy everything and to upgrade all your characters. So it's like really good to actually make sure that you're doing those challenges and get rewarded for doing them. Some of them are a lot easier than others, but they're worth going through because they do actually teach you some of the finer mechanics of the game as well as rewarding you for doing so. So yeah, it's still got the really nice artwork, exactly the same as in the first part, but kind of Don Bluth kind of influence kind of artwork that looks really nice. It's still got the same sort of harsh decisions and things that go, and like there's no ability to manually save. It does all the saving for you. I did come up against a point in the game that I didn't really have. Like, the only battle that I had to do a few times and a few times over, and one was through a technical glitch, was the last battle in the last game, basically. Whereas in this game, there was a battle midway through, which I found quite tough and had to do a couple of times, to the point I was like, oh, there is actually like an end condition that means I have to preload my previous save and actually go through. And I wasn't as aware of that as I have been in this game, basically. Also had a couple of technical issues with it crashing to the menu, but it's really good at saving your progress. You might lose like a battle, or, you know, if you're midway through a battle, but generally speaking, if there's a decision or something that's been made, it's definitely saved it for you and gone on. So there's not too much to be lost there, basically. But
I have a question.
Yeah, go on.
What's the difference between North mythology and Norse mythology?
Nothing other than you hearing too much into a pronunciation, which I don't think.
Anyway. I think there must be a difference. There has to be a difference, otherwise you wouldn't have said it.
What? No, it's Norse mythology.
What is Norse
mythology? I have been drinking, and that is a difficult thing for me to say.
Norse mythology.
Norse mythology, but it's not. It's a different take on that anyway. So you could call it Norse mythology, and that could be fine because it's not really a thing anyway, Dan. So you're sticking on a weird point. But yeah, like as in the previous version, like turn-based strategies are really my thing anyway. This is a really high-quality version of that sort of game. Really well done. Really enjoyable. Really like the art style and everything else about the game. And highly recommend it. And really suitable for the Switch again, basically. So that is really good. What isn't really good is the next game I'm going to talk about. And you guys will go to sleep completely, but I feel I need to get this out there for anyone else.
Oh, no, I've gone past sleep, mate.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
now
assuming
in a
we
coma.
Haven't already.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
possibly
I'm in a
true.
Full-on coma.
But right, Legendary 11. Now, it's a nicely priced football game. I think it was like £8 or so, basically. One that I purchased myself and I went into. Unfortunately, I think this is the first game I pre-ordered on Switch. And then read a review like the day it was coming out. And I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have pre-ordered this game. It seems to have been rushed out to get it in time for the World Cup. If it wasn't for some massive glaring technical errors, which I'll come on to, it would be a very enjoyable game, especially for the price point that it's at. Because it just scratches that little football itch that I needed a little football game to mess around with. This is a heavily inspired by like a 70s kind of look, but also inspired by the kind of 90s arcades. And it plays like a 90s arcade game, football game, basically. You got like, once you build up a bar, you do a shot that does a big bicycle kick that's like completely unblockable. There's some like nice other touches. It's all like kind of World Cup related, but there are the other sort of tournaments and stuff as well, like European Cups and African Cups and stuff like that. But generally, it's all international teams. There's no like club management type stuff. The one thing I think is a nice touch is they've got like a little stickers, and you can they look like little Panini sticker type things, but they're your like bonuses that you'll take into the match. So it could be like an extra powerful shot, or midfielders have more energy and or more, you know, get less likely to get fatigue, or more attackers have more skill. But you can do that in whatever combination you want. And as you go through the game and win more competitions or satisfy more conditions, you unlock more of those stickers. And that's all quite cool. And as a package, especially at the price point it's at, I would be recommending it. It wasn't for the fact it's got two or three massive glaring technical errors. Like, there was one that I was alerted to, in which the fact that basically sometimes the ball will go off the pitch and either the counter won't stop when it goes off the pitch, or even worse, the counter will stop but the ball won't come back into play. And there's literally nothing you can do. You can actually run off the pitch, glitch your way through the side of a hoarding and go fetch the ball, run it back onto the pitch and kick it into the goal.
But sure, I hear if you're Russia, that's totally allowable in this year's World Cup.
Well, possibly. But there's, like, it's severely broken in kind of that thing. And there's a couple of, like, very similar things that happen. But even worse than that, I've actually had two times where I've accidentally left it on pause, like, or just on the menu screen or something, come back to the game and it stops registering any button pushes. Like, I couldn't get into any of the menus unless I did it with my finger. So I knew the game wasn't frozen because I could do the touchscreen selection, but I couldn't do anything with any buttons in the game at any point in time. So, like, literally, I had to uninstall the whole game twice and reinstall it. And if that happens again, I'm not sure I'll be really installing it again. But as I said, it's a real shame because it spoils a game that would otherwise be decent. And I hope it's something that they deal with both of those massive technical issues and patch it out so that it'll be a half-decent game. But hey, Legendary 11, people. There you go.
What was the... It sounds like... What was the Wii U game where you're a superhero with loads of superheroes and you fight lots of things?
Wonderful 101.
Wonderful 101. Or Mighty Number 9. It's that kind of title, isn't it? Anyway. Mark of quality.
Well... Pro Evolution Soccer is actually called Winning 11 in Japan, so there you go.
Oh,
I remember Winning 11. I think it came out on the SNES over here, didn't it? A version of it.
No, we always had ISS before.
Oh, there we go.
Pro Evolution Soccer, basically. International Superstar Soccer.
Indeed. Well, Carmen.
Yeah. Hey, I have a football gaming related question before we go on.
Okay.
Something yesterday, okay. I disagree with it.
Right.
What would you call sensible soccer?
A football game.
Yeah.
All right. So you never called it any kind of shortened name or nickname?
Sensi Soccer.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
not SS, if that's where you're going.
I've never heard anyone refer to it that way.
I was watching the Gadget Show yesterday, which is not one of my usual things to do. But right. Anyway, the girlfriend was watching it, and they were talking about the greatest football games of all time. And number one was Sensible Soccer. Don't know which iteration. Don't ask me. And they went, Sensible Soccer, Amiga or Sensi, awesome. As it's most popularly known. I went... All my friends played Sensible Soccer as a kid, and they all said Sensible Soccer. I've never known anyone say Sensi until Dan's just done it.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Without prompt. Okay, I'll let you off Gadget Show this once. Come at me, Craig Charles.
Yeah. Yeah. I was on a train once with Craig Charles.
We were at,
we were at EGX with Craig Charles.
An EGX sat next to him, but anyway.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well, he was on a Thames Link train going back to St Albans, and he was... faced. It was great.
That sounds about right. We were they were recording a section while we were waiting to play a game at EGX, so Ed noticed the camera crew and went, I get really nervous around cameras. Went, no, you just do this. And then we proceeded to stare at the cameras the entire time, like, deadpan into the camera while they're trying to record a section about The Star Is You or something? I don't know.
No,
anyway.
It was about the...
It was a crossplay game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not the crossplay. What was it?
Yeah, well, no, it was a crossplay game. I was playing it yesterday.
It's not called crossplay, though, is it?
No, I think it's called A Star Is You. It doesn't really matter,
okay.
Really.
Coleman.
Yes, Dan?
I've got an important question President Trump needs to know.
Yep.
The shape of the world. Flat or round?
Flat, mate.
Flat, not even like a tarted up... globe. It's not even an oblate spheroid.
Nah, it's flat, mate. It's flat.
Really? Flat?
Yeah.
Haven't you heard of the flat earthers, Dan?
I thought they were bell ends.
Oh, I tell you what, one day, just take a dive into the world of flat earthers. It's terrifyingly fun.
It's amazing. And there's I'm coming back to Venn diagrams again. Flat earthers and anti-vaxxers share a similar dark corner of the internet. Yeah.
The hell is an anti-vaxxer?
People that don't believe in vaccines.
Oh, God.
Yeah, if you want to hear me go on an uninterrupted Tim-style rant, just get me talking about that.
The Venn diagram of those two idiots groups interacting is just called idiots, though, isn't it? Like,
cool. I've been playing Onrush. That's fun still.
Oh, God.
I think I'm starting to top out. Wait, I'm getting to that. Hold on.
But I need to know.
Played Onrush. It's still fun, but I worry I'm starting to top out because I'm level 50-something now and the trophies for levels stop at 30.
Oh, dear.
And everyone seems to have stopped around 30, so the game's starting to...
I still want to play more of that.
You're too busy playing VR and watching the World Cup, so... I played some Overcooked today. That was pretty fun.
I want to give that a go, actually.
Go pick that up on the Switch. That is a good little community game.
Is it good times? Because that's in the sale as well at the moment, I believe.
Yes, I'm having a lot of fun with that game. Really good. It's much better in multiplayer than it is single player.
Yeah, has that got online multiplayer, or is that local only? It's local only. Yeah.
They couldn't work out the getting the lag away for that game, so
I imagine that would be a killer. But also, it's way more fun if you can punch the person that dropped the peas or whatever.
Gee, why do you have to punch anybody?
Why is there no peas in this game, Tim?
I don't know.
I feel like you've not even played this game properly.
I haven't seen peas in the game.
Why have you got to punch people? Why have you got to come back to punching people, Tim?
Because it's fun, Dan. Physical violence is comedy. That's how it works.
Mm, fair enough. Shape of the World. I've been playing that. That's a game.
Right.
So this is by a Vancouver-based studio called Hollow Tree Games. You may have heard of it. It was a Kickstarter campaign about 3 years ago, I think. Successful. This is a first-person walking simulator, or stroll-playing game, as I prefer now. It's a better term, do you not think?
Very sad I didn't come up with that, because that sounds exactly like something
I
didn't.
I totally nicked it from Giant Bomb.
Yeah. But that is a great pun.
It is a great pun. I much prefer that.
Sounds less derogatory.
Yeah. So it's a stroll-playing game, and the cool thing about this is the world around you is reactionary to the way you move and the attacks that you take.
Does it look by the way you are, and are you a woman's man with no time to talk on as well?
Shut up. And also, that's how you deal with him. And also, it's procedural as well. So this is a very colourful, abstract-looking world.
Bingo! Full house!
Thank you. So it's a very colourful, abstract-looking world, beautiful sunsets and in the horizon, and very kind of... though detailed, single color, sort of silhouetted trees around you, leaves around you, creatures, ponds, grass, everything. But everything's a sort of single tone color. And as you progress through this world, you'll find objects you can interact with. If you interact with enough of them, this pathway will open up to you and you have to walk through a triangle. You walk through the triangle, you go to the next section. That's pretty much what the game is. And it is bloody relaxing, very short. And unless you're really into this game, these kind of games, not very fun. And I'm into these kind of games.
Right.
It took a lot on me, because the problem with finding with procedural games is quite often you'll go, where the bloody hell am I? And also you'll go, I'm stuck. I'm stuck in a rock. Great.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in a rock and I can't get out. Reset the game, start again.
I'm very wary of the procedurally generated things. It means it's like, oh, you couldn't be bothered to design it yourself then.
There's a lot that goes into it, but at the same time, yeah.
Tim. A lot of procedures go into a procedural game.
A lot of procedures and algorithms. We all know how well they go.
There's a whole science to getting an algorithm to create a world that isn't going to immediately get you stuck or take away the exit from you in such a way that makes the game impossible. And this is one of those games, yeah, it kind of skirts that at times, but it's very, very rare you end up in those situations, but you could end up in those situations. But yeah, it's okay. It's not bad. And I've been playing it on Switch. And again, it's one of those calm things that you can kind of take away the monotony of a commute and go, what a beautiful world I'm in. Yes.
As you're saying that's probably just answered it. Why not just go for a walk?
Because you're stuck on the tube underground, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's difficult to walk underground.
I like throwing an in it at the end every
in
now
it.
And then.
In yeah. it. Right.
In
proves
it.
A point.
Right,
it sounds like a bit too hippie for my taste.
No, I can tell you right now, neither of you are going to like this game. But it's one of those. It's one of those games you could take and go, "Ah, video games art." Ooh, and yeah, you could probably throw this in there and go, "Yes, it is." If you are one of those people that really likes screenshotting games and putting out pictures, because I know we've got listeners that a lot of them like doing that. I don't understand it, but okay. This is a perfect game for that. You are going to get some beautiful screenshots out of this game. It's on the Switch, PS4, PC. I can't remember if it's on Xbox One or not.
But I'm sure you could take a mean screenshot on that as well. Or, if you haven't got it, you can ask someone who has got it on another platform, take screenshots from it, and you can put the screenshots on your Xbox One and take screenshots of that, thereby engaging in the sheer fun of this game.
You don't even need to add filters, because it already looks like you're living in an Instagram nightmare. But
lovely.
No filter.
Anywho, oh yeah, also there'll be the footage in the video version of this podcast on YouTube, so there you go.
Lovely.
Good.
Lovely. 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 Good.
I don't think I responded with lovely. I think I said love you by accident.
Did you?
Take that for what you will.
I just can't quit you, Coleman.
Edit that in harder, Coleman.
I just can't quit you.
I
can't quit you. Anyway, Revenge of the Dictators.
Yes, I knew you'd pick up on that, Dan. I know you too well. I knew you'd pick up on the
Tabletop dick. Tuesday is a Tuesday. And,
yes, it is.
And as is very on trend, everyone's a dictator these days. So, Tim, tell us about the game.
So, Tim's got a whole game about taters.
Yeah, he has.
Yes. Wow.
Those only phallically shaped potatoes.
That would be a great game in itself.
A dictator, if you will.
Phallically shaped potatoes.
Good. Phalatos, as I like to call them.
Isn't that what you do to dick-shaped potatoes? Anyway, anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we host an event called Tabletop Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston. And if you come along and join us, we have a different feature game each and every week. And if you play that feature game that week, you could possibly win yourself a copy at the end of the evening. We've had some really crowded weeks in the last few weeks. Last week was a bit quiet. We hit over 50 people. That was a nice number to go with. It was a bit more relaxed and chilled. And the feature game went down well. Attack of the Jelly Monster was silly, but people did like it. So yeah, that went down well. This week is a bit more of a kind of slightly more serious board game, but still with a comedy element to it, basically, but a bit more of a intense big game. Revenge of the Dictators does seem to be like striking out against America by the looks of things. The strapline is lose your friends and rule the world.
Lose your friends in the music, the moment, you know, wherever they go. Oh,
from 2 to 5 people, takes about 45 minutes or so, looks quite good fun, and should be a good one to come along and try on the evening and then possibly win yourself a copy on the night. There are more details on our blog in the top left-hand corner of the page, or you can come along and join our meetup group, which has over 1,600 members. That is on meetup. And search for Tabletop Tuesdays and you will find us because we are there.
Tabletop Tuesday, 26th of June, Loading Bar, Dalston, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Dan has sent me 2 pictures of potatoes that look like penises.
I knew they were potatoes that look like penises without even seeing the pictures. I know you, Dan.
Yeah.
I know you too well.
I've just been trying, to be honest, I've kind of spent half the show trying to break Coleman with bad pictures off the internet.
I've had my mic muted a lot this show. I must admit.
Yeah, anywho, that's your lot. We really ought to get out of here. But not before we say thank you to some people. First and foremost, from the iTunes section of the iTunes, I'd like to say a big warm thank you to the Dark Badger for leaving us a 5 out of 5 review.
I like that name as well, anyway.
I like badgers. I know,
poor bugger stumbled upon us over 6 months and he's been trying to quit us ever since.
I just can't quit you!
But we've enjoyed having Dark Badger as the little spoon and it's been wonderful times.
Keep it up, old chap.
Yeah, I know. Keep pip pip, and glad you like the show, and glad we have helped help you have a giggle from time to time. A giggle. That was a giggle. A giggle.
I have a genuine fear of badgers, but I like you.
Do you?
Yeah. It's a long story, but we'll talk about it another time.
Oh,
right. Today.
I am going to take advantage of that fact where I can. Never mind throwing potatoes at you. I'm going to throw badgers at you next week.
I've got a
week.
Great story that links to this as well. But anyway.
Oh, I want to know the badger story.
Badger, 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 badger. Oh, I forget. Badgers and potatoes go together. There you go.
Yeah.
We've come full circle.
They like potatoes.
Badger, the badger? No.
I can't imagine a badger is that picky.
Everybody knows Badger loves mashed potato.
Yeah,
he loves it so much. He eats it every day. Can that play us out today?
Yes.
I think that will.
Yeah, why not?
Right,
especially
forums.
For American people,
Tim,
that are thoroughly
forums.
Confused right now.
Forums, Tim.
From the forums, I would like to thank Prof. Corey, which I'm guessing is Professor Corey.
Wow, you're
that makes
bright
him,
lad,
that makes
aren't
him better
you,
than you, Dan.
Yeah, because he's a professor. That's more doctors than you, doctor.
I think you'll find it has nothing to do with the number of doctorates one has.
Stop sending me pictures of badgers.
Badgers shaped like potato penises. I would also like to thank Stingo. And then from Twitter, I'd also like to thank Nelly. And she's been extra nice this week, which is hard for Nelly because she's already really nice to start with. But
yeah,
thanks very much,
awesome.
Nelly. You're very nice. And Richard Kirklebottom.
Who's been a dick this week.
Why has he been a dick?
I don't know. He said some nice things about Nelly. I thought the next person he'd
his
get
name
it.
Is Richard. He is literally a dick.
Will Driver, Gabriel Tudor, Chris Turner, Andrew Tanner, and on Facebook, Freya Goddard, Ed Banks, and on YouTube, ShadowAU92, who on one side kind of agrees with you on Detroit, Dan. On the other side kind of agrees with you on Detroit, Tim.
Yeah.
So there you go. You're both right.
Fencing. Well, do you know what I think? He should just make his bloody mind up, shouldn't he? Team Dan or Team Tim? That's
it's
what
a,
we want.
It's a decision path he needs to make. Which one does he choose,
I'm,
Dan?
I'm
which
in the
one
same camp. There are elements of... after finishing Detroit, there are elements I love. There are elements that after thinking about it, I don't like. And there are elements... Or are just confusing. And there are elements that I just... downright hate, but I still think it's a good game.
Would mm-hmm. you call it an emotional roller coaster?
I call it an emotional roller coaster, my friend.
Marvelous.
Those polygons, they really did make a difference.
Really?
Yes. Also, it has one of the greatest lines in video games, which is, "Do you have a dog? I like dogs."
Wow. David Cage is really letting loose with the script writing this time,
well,
isn't he?
Apparently the guy who reads that line, that is his favourite line in the entire game, is "I like dogs," which he told David Cage, and David Cage now doesn't like him. So
really?
There you go.
So your homework this week, listeners, is to tweet a David Cage with
I like dogs.
I like dogs.
Hashtag I like dogs.
And I cannot lie.
I like big
other brothers
dogs and
can
I cannot
deny.
Lie.
Yeah. Anyway. That's it. That's the show. We're done. Finito. That's it. Other words for finished. All of those apply here.
Do we pick up
here.
Our paychecks now? Is that how this works?
We never pick up a paycheck, Tim. Never.
Damn it!
I know. Anyway, thank you for listening once again for another week. We're ambling towards 300. So
God.
We hope you stick with us until then.
I wonder what we have planned.
A podcast, I'm guessing.
Nothing planned.
Nothing. We're just going to wing
all
it.
All our plans have been dashed.
We're going to wing it.
You can partly blame my job. You can partly blame Dan for moving. It's a two-way street on this one.
Yeah. I'm blameless in this one. Yay!
And Tim didn't plan anything.
To be fair, I've come up with the plan that we now have.
It's like 30% of a plan. It's not even a full plan.
Right, but it's such a new plan that Dan doesn't even know what the plan is.
Yeah, I don't even know
Dan
what the plan is.
Dan is not the man with the plan.
No, it's possibly because it's
despite
30% of a plan, therefore not a plan.
Yes.
Right,
I do love it.
I have 48%
when
of
a flan comes together.
We're going to make flan.
Yes.
Flan. Ooh,
we're
going to
plan some flan.
Plan some flan.
Podcast flan.
With a guy named Stan.
Right. But I'm called Dan. Will that do?
Yes.
If I fill a van with flan.
Yes.
And then drive it.
When the flan hits the fan.
Right.
We'll know to call in Stan.
What?
I have no idea anymore. Let's get out of here.
This is your podcast, Length Alert. We have now beaten the E3 podcast.
Just talking about words that rhyme with Dan.
Jackie Chan.
If you have any favourite words, if you have any words or individuals that also rhyme with Dan,
Vince
please
McMahon.
Tweet them at Dammit Coleman on Twitter.
Yeah, fair enough.
Coleman!
Coleman. So that's your lot, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening. That's been Tim.
Yeah.
That's been Coleman.
Hello! Bye!
Bye. Hello! Wait, what?
Badgers!
We're starting again.
Yeah, we are.
Let's go from the top, everyone.
No, that's really...
Take two.
Anyway, that is your lot. That is a show. We are done. Make sure you go on over to www.bigredbarrel.com or internet.com/thing/bigredbarrel, and you shall find us there. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
Quite welcome.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.